Luke chapter 7. We want to consider this evening, particularly the words of verse 47. Luke chapter 7 and verse 47, the Lord Jesus is speaking. He's addressing his host, a man called Simon the Pharisee. And the Lord says to Simon the Pharisee, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins," that is with reference to the woman who was in Simon's house, "her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." When the Lord Jesus entered a home that was located somewhere in Capernaum, he encountered two very different individuals. One we know as Simon the Pharisee, and the other is simply described as a woman who was a sinner. Simon was the owner of the house, and he it was who invited the Lord Jesus to enter and to eat with him. We know that from verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now we can learn a number of things about Simon the Pharisee. We know immediately that Simon was a very religious man. We know that because we're told he was a Pharisee. Pharisees looked upon themselves as being very religious and would expect others to view them in that light also. The Pharisees were very religious and believed they could find acceptance with God by merely observing and obeying the laws of Moses. The Lord Jesus recognized the Pharisees as being very religious because he once said, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so the Lord Jesus recognized that the Pharisees were indeed a very religious people. But the Lord also made it clear that being religious didn't make them right with God. And being religious does not make any man or woman right with God and will not gain acceptance with God. The kingdom of heaven is not a place for religious people. Believe that or not. Heaven is not a place for religious people. But heaven is a place for those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. It's a very different matter. There are many people today and they regard themselves as being very religious. But I'm afraid religion will not gain anyone acceptance with God. No matter how good or strict that religion may be. And the Pharisees were a very strict group of individuals. And so here we have a Pharisee who invited the Lord Jesus into his home. But I find something else about this Pharisee, this Simon. He was not only religious, but he was very respectful. We have to give him that. We have indeed to commend him for that. He was very different from most of the Pharisees that the Savior had encountered. We considered the Pharisees this morning and how they were always carping and criticizing the Lord Jesus and would do anything to have him put to death. But we must say that this Pharisee was somewhat different. The majority of the Pharisees were resentful of Christ. And were always plotting, as we've said, his destruction and his death. But this Pharisee, we're told in verse 36, desired him, desired Christ, that he would eat with him. And so the Lord Jesus, we're told, went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now that is most commendable. As many another Pharisee would not want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus, would not want the Lord to be in their house. But while this was commendable of Simon, this Pharisee, he fell short. It was good for him to invite Christ into his house. But there is no indication anywhere in this portion of Scripture that he invited Christ into his heart. He had Christ in his house, but he didn't have Christ in his heart. Many are just like this Pharisee. They're very respectful of Christ and indeed of Christians and of the church. They might even pray and they might even read their Bibles. But they have no room for Christ. They would be respectful of Christians, but they would never go so far as to say, I would like to be a Christian. And like this Pharisee, they are very respectful. But they would not have Christ in their life. Not have Christ in their heart. They would not have the Lord Jesus to rule over them. Simon was religious. Simon the Pharisee was respectful. But when you take a closer look at this Simon, you find out that this Simon was resentful. And this resentment revealed a flaw in Simon's character. Religious and respectful. But he was resentful because we read in the verse 39 that when this woman who was described as a sinner came into his house and anointed the Lord Jesus with ointment and stood at his feet and wept over him, Simon, we're told, in verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, that is Christ, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. You know what that tells me about Simon the Pharisee? Tells me that he was not only a very religious man and a very respectful man, but it tells me he was a very self-righteous man. Pharisees tended to be self-righteous. They thought they were holier, more spiritual, more religious than the ordinary common man in the street. Tells me also he was a very proud individual. Oh, this Pharisee would not have this woman come near him. He knew her to be a sinner. And here this Simon the Pharisee, and he's critical of the Lord, he's saying if he were a real, true prophet, Why? He wouldn't have this woman near him. Very self-righteous individual. And yet in the course of this encounter, Simon was to learn many things about himself. He was to learn many things about the Savior, and he was to learn many things about this woman. And it's the woman we want to consider this evening. This woman who was described as a sinner. We are given the Pharisee's name, but we're not given the name of this woman. Many ways she was a nobody. In many ways she was a woman that many wouldn't want to know. But the Lord Jesus did not object to this woman coming and standing behind him and weeping over him and washing his feet with her tears and drying his feet with her hair and then anointing him with ointment. He had no objections whatsoever. So what do we learn, or what can we learn about this woman? We want this evening to consider the Savior and the scarlet sinner. First thing we notice about her, and we want to consider tonight, is this woman and the expression of her love. Because when she came into the house of Simon and went immediately to the Lord Jesus as he sat at meat and took up her position behind the Lord and then began to weep and kiss his feet and wash his feet with her tears and wipe his feet with her hair and then anoint his feet, she was expressing her love for Christ. And this was something that the Pharisee could not understand. And the woman who expressed her love for the Lord Jesus was a sinner. This is how we're introduced to this woman. This is interesting, is it not? We haven't encountered this woman before anywhere in the Gospels. And how are we introduced to her? We're introduced to her by this description. She was a sinner. Now, could you imagine being introduced to someone that way? Could you imagine being introduced to someone and a friend of yours says, "This is Mr. So-and-so," or "This is Mrs. So-and-so, he's a sinner." That's how this woman's introduced to us. She's a sinner. Now, it may not be the proper way to introduce us to somebody, but the fact of the matter is, it would be true. Because while this woman was a sinner, Simon the Pharisee was a sinner also, even though he may not have accepted that. He thought he was better than the woman. After all, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He was respectful. After all, he had invited Christ into his home. But I'll tell you something, there was no difference between the woman and the Pharisee. There was no difference between Simon the Pharisee and this woman who was a sinner. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, all are sinners. There's not a man or a woman born into this world from the days of Adam who was born into this world who was not a sinner. The only exception is Christ. Every other man and woman born into this world from the days of Adam was a sinner. Simon the Pharisee would not have accepted that. He was a self-righteous man. Many today do not accept that, but it is God's word. And now when you want to know the truth, you cannot go to any higher authority than God himself. And God says in his word, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And John tells us, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. And the truth is not in us. And that is the truth. And this woman was a sinner, and Simon was a sinner, and you are a sinner, and I am a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this woman was a sinner. We're not told what her sins were, but we can guess. We're all sinners, but she was a sinner by profession. Sin was her occupation and probably her livelihood. In other words, she was a fallen woman. And the streets wherein she dwelt could have told you how well she was described when she was described as a sinner. She was a sinner, all right. And while we may not know all the details about her sinful life, we know she was a sinner. And you're a sinner tonight. We've all sinned. We've all transgressed the law of God. We've committed secret sins. Scarlet sins. Yes, soul damning sins. Because you see, that's what takes a soul to a lost eternity. It is that man or that woman's sin. It is sin. It takes a soul to hell. And so to escape hell, to escape a lost eternity, we must have our sins removed. We must have our sins washed away. And there's only one person can wash away man's sin. And that person is Christ. And our sins can only be washed away in his crimson blood. And as the hymn writer has penned the words, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood. That's it. Lose all their guilty stains. And you know something? This woman had lost all her guilty stains. Christ had saved her. And when she came into Simon's house, she was merely expressing her love for the Lord Jesus because of what Christ had done for her. And so here is the woman who was a sinner, and here is the woman and her Savior. When she heard that the Lord Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, she was drawn to him. That's the picture we get there in that verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of wine. She came into Simon's house. It may have been Simon's house, but Christ was there, and he was the one she wanted to see. She was drawn to him because he was her Savior. You see, whenever you're in love with Christ, you're drawn to Him. You want to be with Him. You recall when Legion got saved, when the Lord delivered Legion? Legion wanted to be with Christ. He wanted to go with Him on a missionary journey. He wanted to be with Him. The Lord told Legion to go home first. Tell his family and his friends the great things the Lord had done for him. And here's this woman, and Christ has done much for her, and she just simply wants to be with Him. She's drawn to Him. I'm reading at present the biography of an English preacher called William Huntington. He followed in the footsteps of George Whitefield. He came after Whitefield and preached to many of the converts and built up the converts that had been saved under Whitefield's ministry. When William Huntington would sign his name or write his name on anything, after his name he would put two letters, SS. SS. Those two letters, SS, stand for sinner saved. And when Huntington wrote his name, he put those two letters after it, letting people know that he was a sinner saved. This woman could easily have put those letters after her name, whatever her name may have been, because she was also a sinner saved. That's why she was drawn to the Lord Jesus. She had received Him. She had been saved by Him. She was in love with Him. She had been pardoned by Him. She had been forgiven by Him. And here she comes to express her love. This, of course, in contrast to the conduct of those who have never known Christ. The woman was determined to meet with the Lord Jesus in Simon's house that day because He was her Savior. And it is a fact, and it is an amazing fact, that many today will spend their time and effort avoiding Christ. They don't want to be where Christ is. They would rather run from Christ as run to Him. In Mark chapter 5, we mentioned there Legion. Legion was possessed. That's how he got his name. He was possessed with a legion of devils. And the devil had ruined his life, destroyed his home, destroyed the man, made him into a madman, lived in the tombs and grave in a graveyard. And the Lord Jesus crossed over Galilee one day and went to meet with Legion. And we are told about this man Legion in Mark 5 verse 5. Always night and day he was in the mountains and tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And verse 6, but when he saw Jesus far off, listen, he ran and worshipped Him. He didn't run away from Him. He ran to Him and worshipped Him. You see, Legion had a need that could not be met by anyone in his city. They had tried to help Legion. They had tried to tame him, bound him with chains. But such was the strength and the power of the demons. He broke the chains He was a hopeless case until Jesus came. And when Legion saw Christ, he knew Christ was his only hope, and he ran to him. Isn't it sad then that many today spend their time running from Christ? You know that when you go around the doors giving out gospel literature, gospel tracts, you're liable to get many doors slammed in your face. People run from Christ. This woman was drawn to Christ. We've seen this woman who was a sinner. We see also this woman here and her Savior. And then we look at the woman and her sobbing. This poor woman was so full of thankfulness because of what the Lord had done for her that she wept. She wept out of love. Nobody had said anything to her. Nobody had offended her in any way. That wasn't why she wept. No, she wept merely out of love for the Lord. Have you ever known anyone to weep out of love for Christ? Well, this woman certainly did. And we're told in the verse 38 that she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You know this woman, as she stood there weeping, her tears flowed freely. Because I find something interesting here, the word wash. And she began to wash his feet with tears. The word wash. Over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 is translated another way. And there the word is rain. The Lord sends his rain upon the just and the unjust. It's the same word. So what does that tell us? That tells us that this woman's tears fell like rain. They flowed profusely onto the feet of the Lord Jesus. Such was her love for Christ. She wept with love. And when she saw the Lord Jesus and considered afresh what he had done for her, she couldn't hold back the tears. The floodgates opened and her tears fell like rain. All because she loved the Lord. But I want to tell you something. All who know and love the Lord Jesus will indeed at some time or another weep and shed tears out of our love for the Lord Jesus. We often feel like weeping when we consider the cross. When we stand and gaze upon him who hung in that center tree. When as God's people we gather around the Lord's table and remember his death. Not the first time, as we've said at the table, that some in our congregation have wept. But I want to tell you something. Those who die without Christ will weep also. They will weep because of Christ. They will weep because they died rejecting Christ. Those who pour scorn on the Lord and His gospel shall one day weep. Luke 6 and verse 25, "Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep." And those who finally reject the Lord Jesus, I tell you, shall weep and weep and weep, and they shall weep for all eternity. The Lord Jesus Himself has told us that in Luke chapter 13. Those who reject the Lord and die rejecting Him, then shall ye begin to say, verse 26, Luke 13, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are." You may have heard my word. You may have heard me preach, but you never accepted me. You never received me. This is what the Lord will say on that great day. "Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Listen, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. Their souls out there in the darkness tonight, in the darkness of a lost sinner's hell, and they're weeping. And they've been weeping since they entered that eternal abode of the lost soul. And they're weeping tonight, and they'll be weeping tomorrow, and they'll be weeping forever. It's all because they did not invite Christ into their heart. Now, where is this woman now that we read about in Luke? Where might she be now, 2,000 years later? Well, I can tell you something. She's not weeping now. She knew Christ as her Savior. And since she knew the Lord Jesus as her Savior, she's in heaven, and there's no weeping there. For I read in Revelation 21 and verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Listen, "and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Now, Simon the Pharisee died without Christ. He may have invited Christ into his house, but did he ever invite him into his heart? If he didn't, Simon is still weeping. But this woman, who was a sinner, the Lord has wiped all tears from her eyes. Tell me, where would you rather be? Where would you rather be? Where there is eternal weeping? Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? are with this woman in glory, where God has wiped all tears from her eyes and all who enter there. I know where I'd rather be. And praise God, I know where I will be. The expression of her love. You have the explanation of her love. Simon the Pharisee couldn't understand this. Couldn't understand this woman coming in and doing what she did, weeping and washing the Savior's feet, drying his feet with her hair, and then anointing. He couldn't understand this. He couldn't understand that anyone could love a person so much as this woman loved Christ. And so the Lord had to explain something to Simon. He had to explain to him why this woman loved him so much. And he explained it by way of a parable. The Lord Jesus was very good at telling parables. And there's the parable there. It's just two verses, verse 41 and 42. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. And one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? It's a very simple lesson, wasn't it? And of course, the creditors in the story, one was this woman who was a sinner. But the Lord spoke about two creditors, indicating that everybody is in debt to God, without exception. And there you have the plight of this woman. The Lord had a word for Simon with regard to this woman's love and how she expressed it. For he said to Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Simon, I have a word for you. And Simon responded by saying, Master, say on. And then he told the story. One debtor owed 50 pence. The other 500. It's very evident that the woman was the one who owed the 500. And the Lord asked Simon the Pharisee, now the creditor, he forgave them both. Which one do you think will love him most? Of course, the answer is obvious. The one who was forgiven most. And this woman was the 500 pence debtor in the story. And we are told that she had nothing to pay. You know, my friend, you have nothing to pay. This woman was bankrupt. The one who owed the 500 pence had no money to pay. They were bankrupt. Just as this woman was bankrupt, how could she pay for her sin? How could she pay for her transgressions and the laws she had broken? And the sins she had committed? The truth is, she could not. It's the same today. Men and women try it. But it's a foolish, useless exercise. You cannot clear your debt of sin. It's impossible. Works will not clear your debt of sin. Wealth will not clear your debt of sin. Worship in itself will not clear your debt of sin. Something else must take place. There's only one person that can clear your debt of sin, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why this woman wept so much, because Christ had cleared her sin. That's why she loved him. You give your heart to Christ tonight, you will love him too. We have her plight and you have her pardon. And explaining this woman's love for the Lord, the Savior speaks about the creditor that he frankly forgave them both. You wouldn't mind meeting a creditor like that. You wouldn't mind meeting a creditor like that. You go in to pay your debt and say, it's all right, it's cleared. I have forgiven you your debt. Frankly, the word frankly means freely. He freely forgave them both their debt. They had nothing to pay. And the lesson was to Simon, listen, I have freely forgiven this woman. She was a deep-dyed sinner. She was the 500 pence sinner in my story. She was bankrupt. She couldn't clear her sin. She couldn't clear her debt. She couldn't put right what she had done wrong. And what did I do? I freely forgave her. And you know something? The Lord Jesus is still in the same business. Forgiving men and women their debt and doing it freely. Forgiving men and women their sin. That's what the Bible says. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And any soul that ever comes to the Lord Jesus and confesses to the Lord they're a sinner, he will freely forgive them. What do you think of that? He'll freely forgive. No questions asked. He'll wipe the slate clean. Now you couldn't beat that. So why do so many not come to Christ and have their sin freely forgiven? That then explain the passion of the woman. For the Lord then put it to Simon the Pharisee, tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And Simon of course understood what the Lord was teaching him, because he responded and saying, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And that's why that woman loved that the Lord so much. That's why she wept so much. That's why she anointed the Lord, because the Lord had forgiven so much in her life. He had forgiven so much. My friend, have you experienced this forgiveness? Have you experienced this forgiveness? Do you love the Lord Jesus the way this woman loved the Lord? I tell you, you would love him for going to the cross for you. You would love him for suffering for you. You would love him for shedding his blood for you. You would love him for dying for you. You would love him for rising from the grave for you. You would love him for coming again for you. You would love him for loving you and for forgiving you. If only you received him. And you would say, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. With this I'll close. Give the examination of our love. The benefit of Simon the Pharisee, for the benefit of Simon the Pharisee, the Lord examines this love, and the love of this woman for him. He points out to Simon the contrast. The Lord had come into Simon's house, and the Lord said, "Thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." What have you done, Simon? Nothing. Nothing. He had nothing to offer the Lord. But like that barren fig tree, the Lord came and examined it, and there was nothing on it, no fruit, only leaves. Whenever the disciples came back that way again, the next day, the fig tree had withered up, because it had nothing for Christ. The Lord's judgment fell upon that fig tree. Oh, make sure you have something to offer Christ. The Lord commends her for her love. And the Lord confirms her love. For verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth much." You see, Simon, this woman has been forgiven much. That's why she loves me much. And here she was, deep-dyed scarlet sinner. But Christ saved her. See, there's hope for the deepest-dyed sinner. Paul says that he was the chiefest of sinners. Christ saved him. Doesn't matter how great your sin is. Doesn't matter what side of the broad road you've walked on. Christ is able to save. And save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Will you come this night? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and eternal Father, we rejoice in the gospel of saving grace. Even there at the end of the story, the Savior was able to say, "Thy faith has saved thee." And oh Lord, we know it's not by works, but it is through grace by faith. Sinners are saved. Oh Lord, I pray that souls even tonight will fall in love with Christ, come to him and have their sins forgiven, their sins blotted out. And oh Lord, that they might from this hour forth start out on that road to the land where there is no death and no separation, and where all tears are wiped away from eyes. Thank thee, Lord, for a wonderful Savior. Write thy holy word upon our hearts. Lord, bless our friends from Ulster. Grant them traveling mercy the final day of their holiday here. May they go back to Ulster refreshed in body, mind, and spirit.